From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd of April, 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Dan O'Brien will join us from K-State University to take a look at the agricultural energy segment. In particular, we'll talk about ethanol for the afternoon. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast from Wyoming all the way through the Delta and the Southeast with Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, and it all takes place on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Tuesday afternoon, we're joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at what was, I won't call this a turnaround Tuesday because it's just a rough day in the continuation of a downtrend in the marketplace, but pretty darned ugly in Chicago in particular for the soybeans today. Tell me about that first.
Well, you know, we got some new lows for this move. We tripped some technical sell points for some of the advisory firms out there. I was talking about the soybeans. One advisory firm sold 20% of his new crop beans or hedged them today. So this is getting serious in a lot of cases. One of the things that we're looking at is, of course, bean meal is a big portion of the beans and the bean price, and the African swine flu has hit a lot as far as the demand for bean meal and whether the beans are going to be there. And, of course, South America's crop continues to look very good as they're getting closer to done with harvest. And Argentina is quite a bit cheaper than the U.S. as far as exporting beans, like about 33 cents a bushel right now on what they're asking in the world market. The dollar going up and the peso going down has really affected that also.
So there's a lot to unpack in that first graph from you. Let's start with the producer sales at 20%. This means that somebody out there must be really quite bearish the marketplace to pull the trigger at these levels for new crop today.
Well, I would say that, you know, the problem being is most are sitting here and the market has not taken into effect the wet weather and this planning behind, because we have seen every time we thought we were behind over the last few years that this big machinery and whatever, we are going to get it planted. And I think that, and of course, as we look at the Chinese deal, it looks at least 2 to 3 weeks away before it gets signed. And that's what we need to sort of turn this market around, because the farmer is a big holder of grain at this point in time.
All right. So then African swine fever becomes a problem, because we've talked about this on the air a couple of times, and I was thinking about it this morning a bit more. So some of it has to do with how quickly they can put animals back into the production facilities there. But of course, Wayne, as you know, I'm sure, they have to have breeding stock to pull that off, and it's not clear that that's the case at this point.
You know, that is one of the things, and that's one of the big problems that's been talked about quite a bit. And like you say, you just don't bring in breeding stock from another country or whatever very fast. There's all sorts of import restrictions and stuff as that goes. The one thing that we did see in some of the Chinese feed companies commented about was they were using about the same amount of meal, because they had went over to producing more chickens, and chickens eat a lot of corn and a lot of meal, and they can be put in fast and they turn over so much faster, just as a hog turns over faster in their cycle than cattle do. So, you know, that is one of the upswings that might keep the demand up. But I think that as they go to middle class in China more so, they're eating more pork and beef, and they've always ate some of the chicken that way. So, you know, that could be a little thing in the meantime to help the bean meal as to keep being sold.
Yeah, and for those that are listening, even in the United States, the companies like Tyson Foods, for instance, which is a large producer of hogs, also known first and foremost for chicken production, but they're into both of those. There's a lot at work here, but over the short term, we're still in that space, Wayne, where producers have a lot of grain, both corn and soybeans, old and new crop, that they have to market. Which one are they most worried about at this point?
They're sick about the old crop out here. I mean, and they're sick about looking at the new crop. I talked to three or four farmers today, and basically you know, we were talking about that the commercials share or percentage of the short position is at a record low. Basically, they're only about 30% of the total short position out there. And this time of year, they're generally over half of that short position when you look at it. So that tells me the farmers haven't sold much grain because the commercials haven't hedged much grain. So that's another reason that the funds aren't really scared of being short here, because the farmer is the big long. You know, and in this big record short time in the corn, we're short 324,000 contracts. That began back about the 12th of February. We're only 10 weeks into it. And a lot of times when the funds have become big shorts or record shorts before, their rundown has lasted 15 to 24 weeks. So we're young in the cycle of being, you know, historically long or short.
Well, I've got a question about this. So it's easy to understand on the soybean side because there are so many soybeans on the planet. Essentially, here in the United States, we're running about a third behind on our exports or something along those lines, I believe. And the soybeans have been used coming out of Brazil, sometimes out of Argentina by China, so that they have just looked away from the U.S. That's easy enough to understand. However, with the corn crop, it's a mostly U.S. thing. There is a big corn crop to come out of Brazil, but it's just the marginal side of it, the export market for the most part. Why is corn under such pressure?
Well, you know, we keep cutting back on our export projections. We know that the farmer is a great big holder of corn, and we look to increase our corn. If you remember the last report, I think we dug up another 300 million bushels again, and we were projecting to export more corn than it looks like we're going to get to unless we get a deal done with China and China done soon. Now, there is some hopes for that in the respect that their starch producers in China said they're going to import more corn this year and continue to want to buy some corn for that over in China. So that is one thing that maybe looks a little bit positive. We can get a deal done that we could ship some corn into there. The negative side of all this is, for right now, we're behind Argentina and Brazil as far as our offering prices for both the corn and beans by 15 to 30 cents. They're cheaper than us. Their dollar continues to retract and ours continues to gain. So all those things are adding on into it. But I think just the big farmer inventories are what's making the funds very comfortable being short.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you in another week.
Thank you, Todd.
And, of course, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday that 6% of the corn crop around the nation had been planted. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 12%. And last year, on this same approximate date, about 5% of the corn crop had been put in the ground. On this date last year, 2% of the soybeans had been planted. This year, 1%, and the rolling five-year average is 2%. The condition of the winter wheat crop, according to the United States Department of Agriculture, is now 9% headed. That's compared to 18% on the five-year average, with 48% of the crop in good condition, 14% in excellent. Compares to last week at 48 and 12, and the previous year at 25 and 6%, respectively. Now here are updates from Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, with the weekly Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report. It was mostly a dry week with spotty rains throughout the state during the week ending April 21st, 2019. Statewide, there were 4.1 days suitable for field work, which was two more days than the previous week. Warmer temperatures and drier conditions increased field work activities, which included anhydrous and fertilizer applications, tillage, seeding oats, and planting corn. Topsoil moisture levels rated 0% very short, 1% short, 75% adequate, and 24% surplus. 48% of the expected oat crop has been planted, 6 days ahead of last year, but 5 days behind the five-year average. Less than a quarter of the expected oats have been planted in northwest and north-central Iowa, while all the other districts had at least 25 percentage point increases in their expected oats planted. Pasture condition rated 3% very poor, 8% poor, 36% fair, 44% good, and 9% excellent. Pastures continued to green gradually, and there were few comments of cattle being turned out to pastures, as grazing may hurt the already slow growth. Warmer temperatures have improved livestock conditions and helped dry out feedlots. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Some Illinois producers were able to use their planters last week, but field conditions were still too wet in most places and very little field work was accomplished. There were only 1.5 days suitable for field work last week, and topsoil moisture was rated 1% short, 45% adequate, and 54% surplus, nearly unchanged from last week. There was an average of 1.1 inches of rain around Illinois last week, which was slightly above normal. Rainfall in northern areas was generally less than average, and the rest of the state received above normal precipitation. Temperatures range from 3 degrees below normal in southern Illinois to slightly above normal in northern parts of the state. On Sunday the 21st, soil temperatures range from the mid-40s to the upper 50s across Illinois. 2% of the winter wheat crop is now heading, compared to 4% 1 year ago and the 5-year average of 6%. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 5% very poor, 10% poor, 30 fair, 50 good, and 5% excellent, which is slightly worse than 1 week ago. Corn planting reached 1% complete as of Sunday. That compares to 3% 1 year ago and 17% for the 5-year average. Pasture conditions were rated 8% very poor to poor, 40 fair, and 52% good to excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Brian Gallagher, statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office. Snowmelt and receding floodwaters has led to saturated cropland with some localized flooding across Minnesota. There was half a day suitable for field work. The southern third of Minnesota reported field activities for the week included some spring tillage and fertilizer application, with a few reports of corn and oats being planted on lighter soils. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated at 0% very short, 0% short, 43% adequate, and 57% surplus. Respondents indicated livestock conditions have been favorable and calving has continued to progress with no major issues during the week. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brian Gallagher.
This is the USDA's Missouri Crop Progress Report for the week ending April 21st. Missouri experienced near average temperatures and rainfall last week. Planting was still behind average so far this season. The average temperature statewide was 57.1 degrees, 0.4 degrees above normal. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.93 inches, 0.06 inches below normal. The southeastern part of the state received the highest rainfall totals, with areas in the Boot Hill getting over 2 inches. On average, 4.1 days were suitable for field work, compared to 3.7 days the previous week. Topsoil moisture supply in Missouri was rated 0% very short, 2% short, 78% adequate, and 20% surplus. Corn planting was 16% complete, up 10 points from last week, but 17 points behind the 5-year average for this time of year. Corn was 2% emerged. Rice planting was 23% complete, compared to an average of 35%. 4% of rice was emerged, 4 points below average. Cotton planting was underway with 2% reported planted. Winter wheat was 2% headed, 10 points behind average. Winter wheat condition was rated 2% very poor, 9% poor, 46% fair, 37% good, and 6% excellent. Hay supply was 30% adequate to surplus. Stock water supplies were 100% adequate to surplus. This is Bob Garino with the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their updates from across the region. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies. Dan O'Brien joins us from K-State University, where he works for Extension as an economist. Hey, thanks so much, Dan, for being with us. I know you do this each month for us and for the Ag Manager's website there as well. What did you put together this week?
Well, of course, we're always trying to keep current on an understanding of just how profitable ethanol plant production is, with the idea that if plants are losing a lot of money, then you could see a slowdown in, well, plant closures, or at least temporarily, and you could see a slowdown in corn usage, et cetera. And it looks like where we're at in April so far, about April the 19th, is just a little bit better, just a couple cents better than we were in March. In March, we lost 14 cents a gallon by our estimates. And here in April so far, we're losing about 12. And you've got lower corn prices for sure, but ethanol prices also have fallen off some. Surprisingly, distillers grains sales prices have held up decently, at least in these Iowa markets that we've looked at. So that's a little bit to the positive, but the negative of the ethanol price falling off is probably the big driver there.
So how is the price of ethanol compared to the price of gasoline? And it's a component, of course, of gasoline in E10.
Yeah, well, you know, you're looking at ethanol versus RBOB. And as far as the futures go, the ethanol futures have been on this steady decline really since mid to late 2017, and just a little bit of up and down, but really trending downward. RBOB during the same time frame had been trending up strongly in early 2019, within the last several months, had a big drop off, of course, but now has recovered some. So the ratio of ethanol to RBOB has gotten pretty weak, down to about 63%. Had been down there again at points in 2018, but to the degree we have strength in gasoline usage, and you know, we hear of international issues coming in that are causing some fears, trepidation in the fuel markets, gasoline market, oil, gasoline, et cetera. You know, to the degree that would hold up strong, eventually that demand pull, I think, would probably help ethanol. But right now, we've got this perpetual issue of a lot of cheap corn to go into plants, and really no lack, at least yet, of stocks to give a strength for ethanol sales. So I think that's how I'd size up the situation.
And finally, can you talk maybe about some localized ethanol conditions? And I'm wondering whether the closure of, for instance, the BNSF lines in the Dakotas, parts of Nebraska, and not being able to feed ethanol out of those areas has had an impact in Kansas, and what Illinois might look like at this time.
Well, there were reports out of the ethanol industry that the flooding conditions did, at least temporarily, disrupt the ability of ethanol plants to continue to run. So I gather there was a massive help your neighbor effort that happened amongst those plants. So that was laudable to see. Interesting that when we look at your ethanol plant cash corn prices relative to what else is in your area, you've got some weaker areas, often isolated interior parts, but generally, with your river markets, et cetera, you've got pretty strong prices relative to what you have at ethanol plants. At Kansas, it's a different situation. We have a couple strong bids in the very eastern part of the state at our export terminals, Topeka, Atchison, but the rest of Kansas, ethanol plant bids for corn are 10, 20, 30 cents higher than we've got at most every other elevator. So ethanol, we don't have as many plants here in this western portion of the Corn Belt, but where we do have them, they really are strong support for the corn market.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with Kansas State University Extension, joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energies. When we come back, we'll talk about the weather forecast. Don Day will join us from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don't forget to visit our website, willag.org. You can listen to our programming there. If you miss it when you're in the field, you can always catch up with us later. Listen to willag.org. Most of the programming posted to that website, or you can find us in Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, on Google Play, as well as in the iTunes Store as a podcast. Look for either the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and even the Opening Market Report. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're now joined by Don Day. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, to discuss the weather forecast. Don, I want to start in your part of the world and then make our way to the east and maybe to the southeast eventually. What are conditions like in Wyoming and Montana?
Well, those areas that have experienced some warmer weather finally, and also a weather pattern that's been much better, especially for stock growers in the Western High Plains and Rockies. Still waiting for the mountain runoff to get started, and some of that warmer weather has got that going, although not full bore yet.
All right. That was the reason I asked about them to begin with, but not started yet. Are we still concerned about flooding once that starts?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we are looking at some areas of the western part of the United States that when the snow melt gets going, we've got snow packs that are 150 to over 200% normal in some drainages. I don't think we're going to see anything like what has happened in the Midwest earlier this season, but it is going to be a concern. And then those waters flowing off the east slopes of the Rockies are going to be moving into some of the major river systems, like the Missouri, for example. And so we'll need to watch added water from runoff in the mountains, complicating things as we look towards the Midwest.
And then looking towards the Midwest, we'll start with the Dakotas and Nebraska. What conditions will they be toiling under for the week?
Well, for the week, Nebraska and the Dakotas not looking at a lot of weather, especially the Dakotas, although Nebraska is going to see some shower and thunderstorm activity, mainly of the scattered variety. But we do see, as we get into the end of the weekend and next week could be wet, especially for South Dakota, Nebraska, southern areas of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, portions of Missouri. That northwest Corn Belt, I think next week, the mid to latter parts of next week, could see some pretty good rainfall amounts. You know, we could see 2, 3, 4 inches of rain in some areas. Now, this is going to happen in the 8, 9, 10-day period from where we're talking now. So I do see some concern with some real wet weather moving into those areas.
Do we divide the nation next week between the Northwest and then, say, Missouri, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio?
Well, I think all of those states you just mentioned are going to be wet, with the western and central areas looking the most wet, Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois in particular.
Oh, interesting. And after that, we'll be in the month of May. Do you have any good guesses?
Well, looks very much like we're going to go into that first half of May with an average pattern, meaning we don't see any major deviations from normal. We're not seeing nearly as much cold air as available during the first 2 weeks of May that we saw here in early April. I still think there will be portions of the West that still could have one or two more snow events, but it looks like May going to start off with wet conditions, but temperatures close to normal.
And finally, wrap up with the Delta and the Southeast.
Well, those areas are looking a little bit drier when we talk about the Southeast and Delta areas. Well, precipitation's in the forecast. That's one area that maybe is not going to be as wet as it's been.
Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. That's it from here on campus at the U of I. You have a great afternoon. If you're out and about and looking to get into the field, stay safe as we start this planting season. I'm Todd Gleason.